practice. Continuing our practice of the four foundations of mindfulness, I wonder if this can just go up a bit somehow. Oh, sorry. Okay, it's okay. Okay, let's see if that's better, isn't it? Okay. So, continuing with our practice of four foundations of mindfulness and cultivating this aspect of path activity called samasamadhi, gatheredness of heart, the capacity to be present, the capacity to be aware, and to bring that quality of presence, awareness, attentiveness here and now to what our experience is. This is in essence the faculty of samasamadhi that helps generate this sense of gatheredness. In support of what I'd like to consider a little bit this morning are those qualities or those skills which help support this samadhi, this experience of gatheredness, unification of mind, body, heart, energies within the capacity for awareness. So that samadhi just doesn't arise independent from that which supports it. Everything is interdependent. One thing supports another thing, one thing creates another thing. So looking at the factors that support the samasamadhi. The first of these factors is faith, satta, or confidence. This word faith usually stimulates for us the sense that we have to have faith in something external or something that we believe in. So faith is a very controversial subject, really, for us as human beings. We have wars over faith, we have arguments over faith, we have confusion over faith. So it's faith can generate a very powerful emotive sense within ourselves. So in the practice of Dhamma, sometimes when because of this, because of our historical religious relationship to this quality of faith, then sometimes it gets stripped away from Vipassana meditation because it's a little bit of a hot potato. So rather just chuck it out and practice the technique. But in fact, in the supporting factors, the five what's called indriyas, the spiritual faculties of the mind. Indriya means faculty, but it also means power. It comes from the god Indriya, which when it's developed, when these faculties are developed, these five spiritual faculties, they become powers. That which carries us, and the first one of these is satta, faith or confidence. Usually it's translated as confidence, which is a bit of an easier word for us. It's less emotive. In Buddha Dharma practice, the faith isn't invested in an external agent that somehow comes to fix us and, you know, hopefully fixes our mess, or that we invoke and sorts everything out for us. It isn't invested either in our views, in our ideas, although that's often the place that we place a lot of faith in. We feel we don't have faith sometimes, but we have a lot of faith in our views, in our opinions, in what's right, what's wrong. We invest a lot of energy in that. But in the practice of Dhamma, we place our faith in this capacity of awareness. this fundamental mind ground, heart ground, the jitta, the mind or heart in its natural state, where it's not layered, not conditioned by sankhara, by patternings. In its natural state, it's aware, spacious, luminous, present, and has natural intelligence and wisdom. So the jitta, the heart, mind, in its natural state, has this capacity for awareness, and it's within that that we place faith or confidence. So, in Thailand, they call this the knowing. It's not knowing something. It's not knowing having the right view or the right belief. But it's just the capacity to know, to be present. It's an intelligence. So the presence, the awareness, has within it a sense of knowingness, brightness, listening, reflectiveness. So this is the foundation, one of the foundations that begins to support our practice. So when this idea of refuge, of having a refuge or having a reference point, when we get swept away or overwhelmed or lost or confused, then it's having faith in the capacity to return the attention to here and now, to the indwelling awareness of the heart, is the place that we find a sense of refuge. So last night Kirisaro talked about this cultivation of the jhana factors, the five jhana factors, that also helps support this samasamadhi, this gatheredness. In a way, samadhi is the fruit. It's not something that we can actually bring about just through an activity of will, through a sort of Olympic will of effort, and to try and create this gatheredness. It's something that grows as we put the right factors in place. So it's like we tend to the garden of the heart and the mind, putting in place that which can give rise to this quality of gatheredness, of samadhi. So when there is this capacity for samadhi, when it is in place, then there's this, so it was being said last night, there's this direct ability to sense an inner capacity for well-being, for fullness, for centeredness, for unshakability. The heart begins to know its own refuge. The mind begins to know its own steadiness. When we don't have any inner gatheredness, when we don't have any sense of inner cohesion, a unitive consciousness, then we're committed to finding, to being pulled out into, through the senses, into contact with the objects of the world, the flow of the world, to try and find the right kind of experience which gives us a sense of momentary stability or pleasure, well-being. We're sort of scanning the world for the right person, the right contact, the right experience, only to feel perhaps moments of that, and to feel the loss of it when it changes. So this feeling of being dispersed, or feeling of being overwhelmed, or feeling being defended against life, that's another. When the heart is more stable, it's able to be open, relaxed, easeful. The mind is more stable, not threatened by life, not defended from the flow of life. It's able to be in contact in a true way. So this quality of samadhi, in these meditation retreats, we get a taste for that, a sense for that, but hopefully we also can begin to irrigate that out into our daily life. And these five jhana factors that were mentioned last night are also supports. They're skills, really, skills that help bring about this fruit. So we don't really focus on the samadhi, but just on the skills the cultivation of the ground of the mind, if you like, applying these skills to bring about this fruit, this gatheredness, this unification of heart, mind and body. The mind and heart is unified. When the mind is clear, then it can naturally give rise to wisdom, to insight, to liberating insight. Without that, then it's very dispersed. We can't really see clearly. We just see through the framework of our views. So just to go over these factors, the first one, vitakka, which is the ability to bring direct, using thought to direct attention. So, for example, saying, I find a vitakka that's helpful for me is a question, an invitation, as I said already, sometimes to be very willful, like here, now, come to the breath, giving a command to our mind sets up a sort of a shock almost in the system. If we're just used to approaching the mind, which is quite a delicate instrument, with this commanding tone, this willful approach, which is very common for us as meditators, very common for us in our culture, a modern culture, then we tend to set up a syndrome that lacks sensitivity to the instrument that we're working with, the body-mind processes that we're working with. Yes. We impose a technique and a method from the base of will, rather from a deeper flow of energy which can inquire, which is more fluid, which is softer, which is more sustainable. Will is moments of will. It's not that we can't use will, but it's a bit like if you just like driving in top gear all the time, you've got no other gears. It just puts a lot of strain on the system. That's probably not a good analogy, but it's just like having one move, one muscle. So a question, vitakka, like how is it? How is it here and now? Is it softer? Is a more invitation? How am I? What am I with this morning? So before doing any meditation method, to direct the attention to come into relationship with what's actually here. What are we working with this morning? How is the body? How is the mind? How are the feeling tones? Do I feel sad? Do I feel agitated? Do I feel resistant? Do I feel like I just want to go home? I want to hide under the duvet? Do I feel energized, peaceful, expansive? Do I feel uptight, angry? What is here? Do I just feel dull, numb? Do I just feel like completely driven? I can't sit here. I just feel the impingement and the pressure of the things that I need to attend to. So coming into a relationship with this question, what am I with? Because that will inform then how we apply the next jhana factor, vichara. It's called vichara, which is translated as evaluative thought, which is a very unhelpful translation. But it's more means this adjusting primarily the effort, the quality of effort into relationship. How do we support? Attention is supported by energy or effort. Moments of attention. So we have to know what we're working with to know how to adjust and how to stay, because this vichara implies not just bringing the attention to what's present, but staying connected. If we don't have any capacity for vichara, we can't have any relationship, deeper relationship. We can just come into contact, but we can't sustain relationship. And in meditation, we're making primary relationship with ourselves, with our being, with this body, this mind, with this heart. We're getting to understand this very incredible, complex, often quite tangled, powerful medium of our experience, ourselves, our being. coming into relationship. So vichara is staying connected. So if you just have moments of like will forcing yang, overly yang in our approach, just directing the attention to the breath, to the breath, to the breath, to the breath, but we're not really receiving and staying connected with what is the actuality of our experience, then we can't stay connected. We fall away from, you know, from our meditation object. So this adjusting of effort helps us to understand, supports this vichara, how to stay connected. The kind of energy and way we are, we're used to our energy bodies, the kind of way we use effort in our everyday lives will translate very immediately into our relationship to meditation. For example, if we're very you know, just the two extremes is one is being very driven in our energy body and the other is being collapsed, you know, and somewhere we move between the two. If we're very driven in our life, we'll be very goal orientated, ambitious, looking for outcomes, moving on to the next thing. This is very much the modality often of our culture. It's always, it's very linear, it's very time bound, it's very much about what we produce, where we, the results we get. And if we apply that kind of level of effort in relationship to this practice of mindfulness, of practice of being present, then we'll tend to land up becoming a bit uptight, a bit impatient with ourselves, with our being, with others, with the environment we're in, a bit brittle, probably a bit repressive because we want to get on. We don't want to deal with what comes up, the uncomfortable feelings, the doubts, the confusion, the messiness of actually what a lot of our experience is. You know, we want clarity, we want direction, we want results. That's kind of the modern idiom, isn't it? None of this messy, confusing stuff of life, you know, whereas, you know, actually most of life is pretty much like that. So, you know, if we apply that kind of effort to our meditation, then, and we start getting a headache, start getting a bit uptight, impatient, the energy body becomes a bit brittle, not relaxed, not easeful, then we know we need to adjust. If we have those tendencies, we probably need to remind ourselves things like, well, I have all the time in the world to be here. Just give yourself a lot of permission to relax, to take your time, to focus more on the exhalations, breathing out, softening, opening the body, encouraging yourself, if you have that kind of, if that's your modality in your everyday life, encouraging yourself to just be really, really patient, letting go, allowing, more yin, more receptive, more, you know, interested in what you're with, actually, rather than overriding it to get to where you need to get to. Conversely, for some of us, we don't really have a lot of directive energy. We're more the type maybe that tends towards collapse. It's very hard for us to get energized from within ourselves. We look for direction from someone else, from outside of ourselves. You tell me what to do. You wait for others to make the decisions, sort of flow along with whatever's going on. Feel very, very hard for us to be. If we're very collapsed in our energy body, then often it's very hard for us to be here. We tend towards dullness, towards sort of feeling like we want to just creep into a corner and hide. You know, just pull up our meditation blanket over our heads and disappear. And I'll see you in a week's time. He's feeling a little bit depressive. It's very the sense of being really committed. You know, if we have that kind of collapsed energy, you know, we start for a moment, you know, okay, I'll be with the breath, and the next thing we wander off and start thinking and worrying. We'll probably be tending towards worry a lot, the mind left to its own. It's like it follows the law of gravity, just sinks into, you know, anxiety, worry, nameless sort of fear, confusion, doubt. So this kind of way that our energy body is shaped around this sort of more, you know, in a way too passive, too yin. So then we might need to explore that, adjusting the vichara, the second jhana factor. We might just need to explore energizing, being in moments, being like a little bit more fully committed to being here, rather than ambivalent. Really, you know, this ambivalence, well, I'm sort of like 30% here, and 70% God knows where I am, but at least, you know, it's too much effort to be here. Daydreaming, looking, you know, thinking about the next thing. So it's very hard if you have that pattern, that sankharic tendency, that deep tendency, that shaping. It's quite hard, actually, to bring about a commitment and energy to meet this moment as fully as you can, to meet yourself, to meet what's here. But you can do it. I mean, it's the thing about these teachings is that in their ideal form, they seem quite hard, but they're in their actualization, in the moment, they're doable. All of these teachings, all of the Buddha's teachings, we can do it because we're only really talking about the moment. We're only really talking about the adjustment happening here and now. Not happening in terms of an idea of how we should be. I should be energized, balanced. We all are going to approach our meditation with an imbalance. You know, we're all going to be, and we might veer between drivenness and collapse. You know, that's often the pattern for that. For me, that's the pattern. I kind of get driven in what I'm doing in my daily life, and then I collapse. So coming about into balance, when we sit here, it's unrealistic to think we're going to arrive in this space and not be shaped by those daily patterns, how we operate, from how our energy body is shaped. And a lot of our energy body is shaped away from being present, away from this gatheredness. It's kind of pulled out into the future, into becoming energy, or into resistance. The overly driven energy is all about becoming something in the future. The collapsed one is more about resisting. Just meeting the moment with a sense of unacknowledged negativity. It's not strong negativity, but subtle sense of resisting. So all of that will be present for us as we sit here. Or some combination of it. So the medicine, you know, we start to look at the dis-ease that we carry energetically, mentally, emotionally. And then when we start to locate that, the sense of, God, I really feel out of balance, or I feel uptight, or I just feel dull, or I just feel unhappy. The tendency is then to go up into our thinking minds and think ourselves to a solution. You know, think. You know, I've got a problem, I need to somehow fix it. In mindfulness practice, we replace our reactivity to our experience, our judgment of it, our overriding of it, our thinking it through, our trying to find meaning for it, our interpretation as this is me, what we experience. We replace all of that reactivity with the simplicity of mindfulness, of being attentive to here and now, And the one, it's the awareness that brings about balance, not the sense of me having to somehow balance myself and find the right quality of energy. So with the applying moments of awareness, moments of attentiveness, this is where we have our faith, that this capacity for mindfulness is the innate place of health, the innate place of wisdom, the innate place of balance, and that will begin to irrigate out into all the imbalances, into all the tangles, and bring about clarity, response rather than reactivity, reflection rather than view, gatheredness and strength and groundedness rather than dispersion, confusion. So this second jhana factor, vichara, just noticing, when we notice when we bring vitakka, we bring our attention to how is it, how am I? And we notice, boy, I'm really uptight. Then we might, as I said, the vichara, the adjusting might be like just spending a whole practice session just being here. Don't try so hard. Don't try. Because if you have that kind of tendency, you just keep trying so much, generating this stress and struggle and strain and effort. You know, so sometimes just allow the awareness to be open, to relax, to enjoy, to just get a sense of the spaciousness, breathing out. Stop meditating. Stop doing stuff. You know, so sometimes it's, you know, when I feel like I'm just really getting uptight and overwhelmed and irritable, and just realize that just be here, you know, just be here. You know, just listen to the sounds of breath, and in a more gentle, allowing, spacious way, giving yourself permission to not struggle every moment of your existence, one's existence. And feeling in the exhalation, as you exhale, just softening through the body. If we find conversely that we have this more like collapsed, resistant, ambivalent relationship to the moment, then we might just gently, and I think these patterns are very deep, so we can, you know, you just have to realize we're working at shaping something, what's called sankhara, I think it's a very good word, we unpackage that word a bit more, where we've been shaped, patterned. That particular patterning is quite hard to incarnate almost. It's quite hard to really feel our fullness of energy. So to explore, what is it like to really inhale, really take in and fill your whole body with the inhalation, and set yourself a goal. If you just feel you float around in life, set yourself a goal you can succeed at, like five breaths, and you just sort of like count them on your fingers, breathing in, down into your belly, really feeling the inhalation, just work and say, I'll just work at five breaths, okay, three breaths, whatever you can succeed at, breathing in, and breathing out. Breathing in. And as you breathe in, really feeling the life force. You know, so that you get a sense for this third factor, pity, which is this savoring our moments of awareness, our life force, our being, the body, all of it. It's this sense of being connected, savoring what we're with, rather than judging it, reacting to it. So breathing, savoring the breath. It's so that the meditative practice has mixed with it a sense of enjoyment, not just struggle, not just will, not just effort. Even if it's painful, it's like, well, okay, this is a morph, you know, amorphous feeling of dislocation, uncertainty, sadness, whatever. I just breathe into that, breathe with it, and savor the awareness, the breath, that you're mixing with that state. Allowing the breath energy to fill the body, breathing in, and then as you breathe out, not just, there's a way of Ajahn Lee, who was he's passed over now, but he was considered a Samadhi king in Thailand, Ajahn Lee Damodaro. He talked about, his teachings on Samadhi are very, very, very simple, very profound. He talked about this, the exhalation suffusing the exhalation through the body. So you're breathing in, suffusing the body with the inhalation, breathing out, feeling a sense of the chi or the energy of the body, of the breath suffusing the body. And then this fourth jhana factor is sukha, which means ease. It's hard to have samasamadhi if there's no ease. So the ease comes from when the energy, our energy body, our energy of the mind, it becomes into balance. Not too pushing forward, not too collapse, but just here, just aware, just present. Sense of being at ease in the moments of our experience. I really want to encourage that today. You know, in each moment, even if there's struggle, pain, dislocation, whatever we're facing, whatever we're with, can we find within the mindfulness, within the awareness, within that which we take refuge, where we place faith, this capacity for mindfulness, can we find moments of ease? Being in the midst of it. So as these factors start to come into place and we start to massage them, work with them, then this ekakata, this unification, this is the fifth. It's a brass bowl, the image that Kirisaro gave last night was from one of the suttas, the Bathman's Apprentice. It's the description of the experience of what's called first jhana, which Ajahn Chah, there's a lot of, in contemporary Buddhist circles, a lot of stuff about jhanas these days. You know, can you get them? What are they exactly? You know, different descriptions, but Ajahn Chah, our Thai teacher, would just say it's just about being a bit more peaceful rather than making a big PhD out of it. It's just this sense of being able to be a bit more ease, a bit more peaceful, a bit more with, you know, with in awareness, with the flow of life, the flow of sensation, the flow of body, the flow of the breath. So this is simple in theory, being here really. Ajahn Lee gave a lovely image for this practice of cultivation of samadhi. He talked about it's like a bridge. You know, if you're making a bridge across a flowing river, and you put two supports for that bridge on either bank, putting those supports on either bank is not so difficult as the support that you have to plunge down through a flowing river onto the bed of the river. So the analogy he made, like one of these supports is the first factor of the path, the sila, the ethics that we talked about, and then the on the other shore, the wisdom. This middle pole, this middle support, the samadhi, it's in a way the most challenging to cultivate because you're plunging it down through the currents of the mind. You're plunging this capacity for present moment awareness, present moment mindfulness, present moment's attentiveness to how it is. You're plunging that skill, that strength, that refuge, that capacity, that steadiness through the currents of the mind flow. So we can't do it in one big fell swoop. We're just little by little, moment by moment, cultivating this capacity, bringing our heart, our minds, bodies into balance, into health. So another way of talking about samadhi is that it's the healing aspect of the path. It's that which brings balance, which energizes subtly, body untangles the energetic knots, soothes, heals the heart. It's that inner wealth that we have, that we develop, the wealth of the mind, of the heart, the jitta, when it's steady, begins to flow and well up and touch all the places of dislocation, of pain. So this samadhi is that which is soothing, healing, nourishing, gathering, steadying, and ultimately when the heart and mind is steadied, is clear, is strengthened, then we can turn that to investigate, to contemplate. So it's impressive that we all come to a place that's not the most comfortable in the world, but it is, you know, there's a lot of good intention that's gone into making this space available to us. So it's impressive that we come together to practice. I feel really encouraged that that you would come here to practice, actually, that you would take time out of your lives, that you, you know, sharing rooms and things that are not always easy, and the people that are supporting the retreat taking time out of their lives to come and be in the background, try and figure out how to cook things without burning them. That's really credit to you all, that you do this, that you're interested in cultivating inner well-being, inner wisdom, inner compassion, and then applying that to the world. It's really wonderful. It's a wonderful jewel that's here. So I really want to just honor that, respect that in each of you, in us, and all of us. Coming into Israel, I know when we teach in other places, they've gotten more comfortable, they've got it all worked out. You know, they got everything is the food and these rooms, and everyone is like optimum comfort zone, particularly in the States, with Spirit Rock and so on, which is nice. It's nice to enjoy comfort. But it's impressive for us that, you know, to come in and to, you know, get a place like the indoor kibbutz and begin to do it up and to put just very simple mats on the floor and, you know, sharing and all of that. And it, you know, it speaks to us about the level of faith that is here, actually, the level of heart, the level of wholesome intention. So yeah, really also honor that in yourselves, honor your goodness, rather than thinking about all the things that are wrong, that need fixing. You honor your good intention, your wholesomeness, your, you know, the precious jewel, that you carry in your own hearts, your awakenedness, your potentiality to blossom into awakened beings. It's beautiful. So coming on the last short while of this morning, Simhut coming to this practice. With the question, how am I now? Just gently asking that, coming into our postures, to a sitting. And gently bringing attention to here and now with this inquiry, what's present for me now, what's present for you now, the feeling of the body, the mood of the jitta, the heart, the mind. And as we do that, allowing ourselves to feel the rhythm of breath, the gentle expansion and contraction, the flow of it, the pressure of it. And following that's just three breaths, just following each inhalation through the body, from the nostrils, down through the chest, and the expansion into the lungs, to the rippling out to the belly, through the thighs and the arms. Inhaling, and then as we exhale, suffusing through the body, a gentle wave of energy, suffusing through the body on the inhalation. Being with three breaths, elongating those breaths if you need to just steady the mind. Allowing breath to come to its own natural rhythm. And really being interested in this experience of the breath energy, the vayu dhatu, the air element. Feeling within the body, the air element of the flow. You can feel the element of heat, warmth, the fire element. You can feel the element of the earth, the solidity, pressure of sitting, bone structure, and the liquidity, the saliva. Perhaps even sensing the flow of the blood, mucus. All these elements within the body are the same as the elements in the world around us. All form is comprised of these four great elements: earth, fire, water, air. And also space, being the space within the body, the space around us. and consciousness, that which is knowing, that which we take refuge, that which knows here and now how it is, knowing the breath, knowing the sounds, knowing the sensation. And staying rooted in that capacity for awareness, for knowing, for being here and now, moments of mindfulness.